I was talking to Jerry about the Phish concert on the way up, and I really enjoyed Phish's music a lot. But, you know, I enjoyed the scene a lot, too. The scene outside.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. You know,
oh, yeah.
The people out there with the fucking bongos and the,
oh, yeah.
The bell. I don't know what the bell they were ringing is called. It's a type of bell that it has a very deep sound to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
yeah,
they were getting very percussive, and it was...
Oh, completely.
Fucking wild, man. And I was thinking, I'd like to go to a Phish concert one time, but not go to the concert.
People do that a lot.
Yeah.
The parking lot scene doesn't end when the show starts.
Yeah.
People can't get in or they're too, they, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the scene around the show is interesting.
Is it the same type of scene like around one of those big outdoor things, though? Because, I mean, it seems like the scene would move in. Because, I mean, in an arena you have a certain number of seats.
Right.
And then you have all the people who were hoping to get tickets, but they're still hanging out and partying. And that seems like it'd actually be more of a scene that, you know, what would actually move inside to something like Great Woods or Meadows or something.
Great
like
Woods,
that.
A lot of people don't get in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But people hang out?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Big time.
I'm going to have to hang out.
Yeah.
Just to enjoy, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoy the scenery of the young pennies selling their goo balls. Now, what precisely is a goo ball made of?
Well, a goo ball is a homemade item.
Yeah.
So it will have various elements in it. But I think most of the time it contains peanut butter, honey, some kind of dough of some kind. I mean, something to...
So it's sweet.
Yeah. It's not candy sweet, but it's sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe. It's kind of like something you get in a health food store.
And the special confectioner's ingredient.
Oh, yeah. And good goo ball makers take pride in their secret ingredient.
Right? Yeah.
They really... But basically, it's like someone comes up to you with a Tupperware bowl of these, like, large homemade cookie-looking things. And they're $2 a piece, or $3
There
a piece.
There was one girl. She was standing outside the Civic Center, and she had a little wicker basket.
Mm-hmm.
And she had these little foil balls that were all wrapped up. And she's smiling, and she's walking around.
Yeah.
And it was... I was thinking, yeah, she's selling goo balls. Yeah. She didn't say anything, but, you know, you could tell.
The three most common things that are sold of a food item are goo balls, grilled cheeses, and burritos.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said the burritos don't have a special ingredient, generally.
They're just veggie burritos.
Yeah. Veggie burritos are good, by the way. Have you had those?
Yeah, though, I mean, like...
That's not food, that's like food.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
That parking lot veggie burritos, I think, are a real risk.
Well, you know.
You have to have an iron constitution.
Right.
Which I guess you do.
Yeah.
I guess you can pretty much put it all away. So, yeah. Yeah, the veggie burritos. But, I mean, they're pretty good. You know,
yeah.
It's just they're veggie burritos, and, you know, you don't know how very carefully they're made. The grilled cheeses are good, because they're only a buck. I mean,
uh-huh.
It's like a lot of people, I think, tour and live off of grilled cheese sandwiches, you know.
Yeah.
You know. And the goo balls are quite delightful. You know, they're... You know, what's neat about them is people walk around with them very openly, as opposed to the other things that, you know, people sell. I mean, these, essentially, you know, people are much more flagrant about them.
Yeah.
Because it looks like you're selling a dish of homemade cookies.
Yeah.
Now, I can't believe that the cops don't know, but, you know, there's a certain amount of laxness. I think that just because, like, if you're a cop and you've been told to lay back, but to be vigilant,
yeah.
If somebody's, like, selling a basket full of cookies, that's not going to offend Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public walking down the street who sees it. But if someone's selling a bag, you know, it's like...
They're selling its own pipes, you know, that's even more...
The pipes are out in the open.
Yeah. Oh, it's not the pipes. The pipes were wonderful looking.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's this style of pipe that apparently is very popular where it's blown, but the the fancy stuff is on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some of those.
Yeah, they're inside out pipes. They're really nice. They're really, I mean, and people take real, the thing that you're, most of the time, you have a good thing going with this stuff in the parking lot is that most of the people selling this take pride in it. They need to get the money to pay for whatever. And there's lots of competition.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, I'm going to give you a special assignment. We're going to have a sort of start to the meeting because I'm going to break out something here that I have. Okay, I found this at the Zeitgeist Gallery today.
Uh-huh.
It is, I brought several copies of a magazine. I didn't even look at it, but they had a bunch of copies of it called The Swim, a magazine. I'm going to give that one to you. I'm going to give that one to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mark,
yeah.
Your assignment is to find something in this magazine, if there's something to be found, that would be good to read to everybody.
Okay. It looked pretty good. It's out of Davis, somewhere in Illinois. It's out of Cambridge. I was thinking they might be people we would actually possibly contact at some point. Oh my God, I'm so fucked up. I just can't decide which thing it is.
And I read this good passage from this essay called Hallucinogens, a Reporter's Objective Opinion,
uh-huh,
by Dan Wakefield. He was talking about the recent controversy of Timothy Leary at Harvard,
uh-huh,
circa 1962. Ah, the old days. Why couldn't I have been there at Harvard? Did you ever hear about the Good Friday experiment at Harvard?
No.
Well, Dr. Leary and his cohorts, they weren't supposed to involve graduate students in their experiments with psilocybin.
No. That would be wrong.
But they did. Ultimately, they were banned, thrown out, defrocked from Harvard,
uh-huh,
for doing it. And they went on to found the International Federation for Internal Freedom.
Yeah.
Oh, my. IFIF.
IFIF.
And they said, originally they had a psychedelic utopian commune in Mexico. Oh, my God. I was reading about that today, and it's like, oh, shit. This isn't fair. Psychedelic utopianism. Take me, please. Take me. No, I'll come. I'll give you all my worldly goods. Just give me chicks that are engaged in psychedelic utopianism. Yeah, so the Good Friday experiment. It was great. It was like, basically the question was, would a religious person, would a non-religious person, a non, like, religiously oriented person, if he did psilocybin, have a religious experience?
Yeah.
You know, is the psilocybin experience religious in nature? Is it spiritual?
Yeah.
Or if you are already inclined toward that, if you're, you know, if you're a practicing Catholic, Protestant, Jew, whatever, and then you have a religious experience or a religiously symboled experience, you know, that would make sense. So what they did was they had the blind thing, you know, you dose some of them with the real stuff and you dose some of them with a placebo.
Yeah.
And like almost to the man, they all had religious experiences.
Yeah.
The whacked out Catholics, the skeptical inquirer people, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Since Jim's not here, we're going to... begin with Jerry's freshly minted notes, poetry, whatever the hell you've been writing. Please, carry forth.
A poem by Henry. This is entitled, Ode to Alex's Desk. Maybe I'll read to my best Henry to get to it too.
Yeah.
Was a night at Roma's, and all through the bar, not a patron was stirring, not even a martini. I with my ketchup and Jim with guitar had just settled down for a long Jellicoe nap. The bottles were lined up with care in hopes that Alex soon would be there. Out on the street, I heard such a clatter, I sprang to the door to see what was the matter. Out upon the stoop, out stood a desk most bare. Its owner has flown the coop. He had a beard most fair. Ah, the desk. Many a line was snorted, many a whiskey imported, many a wet dream aborted, and many a weightlifter converted. Back in the day, when I placed my glass upon the tray, I could hear Alex shout, "Everybody out!" And that was the ode to Alex's death.
Oh, that's it? Oh, that was excellent. I love that. Yeah, that was really good. Oh my god, that was funny.
Okay, I think his next thing you probably heard maybe in different versions one time or other.
Okay.
Man builds a temple, woman kneels to pray, litany of pains and woes bewitched to assuage. God's on vacation, no one hears their prayer, makes me wonder if justice is more than being prepared. I've seen her fingers tremble, I've seen her eyes go wide, I've seen the truth chase her, I've seen her try to hide. Her heroes all are victims, she never shows me one. They rise above, while I cannot, though losing, they still have won. She tries to share her vision, and I look through her blue eyes. One does not cease to love as an infatuation fades.
That's the blonde. You're right on with the blonde again. Nice. Is there another one?
Yeah, this is the new one. This is the one I just wrote Monday or Tuesday.
Cool.
Have to whip my whistle.
Yeah.
I've only one poem to write, and you took away the paper. I've only one poem to write, and you hid all the pens. I've only one poem to write, and you locked up the keyboard. I've only one poem to speak, and you shut my lips with yours.
Ooh. Nice.
Poem by Henry Gibson.
What the hell is Henry Gibson?
I'm laughing.
Oh, I missed that. Was he like that old guy, Paul Paulson?
No. Paul Paulson was a young man when he was on Laughing.
Oh, really?
And he was only playing the same character.
Oh, okay.
Running for president. He started running for president on Laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't one of the choices in that, Goldie Hawn. No, Judy Carman's Sacketeer, I'm sorry.
That's what you mixed. Or it was Richard Nixon one time. He showed up.
And so,
Yeah, he was like the last president before Clinton who did anything that vaguely had to do with pop culture. Mm-hmm. All right, Mark, so we're going to hear something you're going to read from The Swim, a magazine, number 2.
Wait, sorry, one more thing.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, go ahead.
Jim can't make it on time. Boo-hoo. Jim can't make it on time.
Boo-hoo.
Mark ate the wings all up.
Boo-hoo.
Mark ate the wings all up.
Boo-hoo.
Somebody help me up the stairs!
It brings back undesired memories. She really happened. Mona is not a figment. All right, Mark, what do you got from The Swim?
Confessions of a Feathered Sheep. Wait,
what is it?
Confessions of a Feathered Sheep.
A Feathered Sheep. All right.
Nobody has ever understood me. I've, never had any friends and stuff. Because every time I speak to the other sheep, they would just baa and run away.
some of them called me names, mean names. Names like Sheep Freak and Chicken Sheep and Cluck Ba. Sometimes it would make me cry. When I was just a lamb, because I had feathers, I thought I was a chicken. But I was too ashamed ever to say anything. At night, I would sneak away from the sheep stables and into the chicken coop, but when the chickens saw me, they would just cluck and turn their backs on me. They never saw my tears. They never saw me. Such was my life until I met a young chicken named Geraldine. She stood 14 inches high and was a delicate yet defined gizzard. Shiny black leather skin and eyes like beads of morning dew across the meadow of autumn chrysanthemums. But the other chickens saw nothing of her except her chin. To them, she was simply the leather chicken. Oh my god. Everyone knew the leather chicken. Sorry. Sound effect. But no one knew Geraldine. Nobody, that is, except me. We spent the next few weeks together. We only understood each other. We knew each other's hopes, each other's fears, each other's dreams. We would eat together, seed for her, grass for me. We would stay up and talk until dawn.
Sound effect.
We would take long night walks on the beach. We would spend hours simply staring into each other's eyes. I, however, had only one eye. In little time, I knew I was in love. One day in the barn, when she was explaining to me the philosophies of Sartre, Kant, and Hume, I told her my feelings. Geraldine, have I, like, ever told you how special you are and stuff? I whispered softly to her. Lawrence, she replied. You two are very special to me. You're the wind beneath that I have leather wings. With that, she took my hoof in her wing and kissed me on the cheek. My heart almost stopped. Geraldine, you're the most beautiful chicken I've ever seen. Thou blind fool, low she clucked. Why dost thou to mine eyes that they behold and see what they not see? They know what beauty is, see where it lies, yet what the best is, take the worst to be. I was a bit confused. Huh? Let's go, she said. I know a place. One thing led to another, and next thing I knew, we were in the barn making love like animals. I woke up to the rooster. Geraldine's beak was nestled in my feathers. Like, good morning, pretty lady, I whispered, softly while gently stroking her left drumstick. Oh my, she said as she rose. She looked startled. Lawrence? Oh my, is something wrong? Oh no, nothing, nothing at all. She gathered herself. It's just that I told everyone I would lay eggs with them at dawn. I must depart. You gotta leave right now? Yes, my most gracious apologies. Goodbye, Larry. She then walked out of the barn and out of my life. I stopped by her coop that night, but the chief hen said she was busy. The next day she was asleep, and the next day she was washing her hair. I was positively devastated. Life became nothing without Geraldine. My days were long, my nights were restless. I could no longer graze. One day I was moping about by the pigsty when I saw her footsteps in the mud. I knew they were hers because her right foot is shaped like a crucifix. I followed the footsteps around the barn. I followed the footsteps around the barn, down a dirt road, through old man Wilson's general store, over a hill, and to the beach, our beach. And there she was, facing the vast ocean, her shiny black leather glistening in the golden sun. Geraldine, Geraldine, I called, waving my legs high in the air. Geraldine, over here, it's like me, Lawrence. Lawrence, good God, Lawrence, I wasn't expecting you. She stepped to face me. Geraldine, I ran to embrace her, but she turned her back. Listen, Lawrence, I cannot go on like this. Like what? This? I don't know. Was it something I said, I asked, stepping back? No, not at all. I don't know what to tell you. She pointed her beak toward the golden sun. I just can't take this barn life anymore. I need to see the world. I need to experience life. I need to break free. Break from chains. But there's so much here right in the farm and stuff. Cows, tractors, twigs. I know, but there's a whole world out there. She pointed her wing across the ocean. Paris, Milan, Monte Carlo. I have to see these things before I die. I'm not made for the farm. But I love you, Geraldine. And I love you too, but in faith I do not love thee with mine eyes, for they in thee a thousand errors know. For 'tis my heart that loves what they could despise, who in despite of you is pleased to dote. She began to run to the ocean. Geraldine, don't go. I must go, she said as she took off in flight. I must be free. I must be me. I watched the tear-filled eye as the shiny blackness slowly shrank into the golden light. And so I sit here beneath the sycamore, but with a scroll, an inkwell, and a quill pen, and I wrote right to you my tragic tale. I turned my singular ovine eye to the horizon with the hope that perhaps somewhere, sometime, somehow, I will catch a glimpse of that shiny black magic. Yes, you, hair reader, sit and laugh at my misfortunes, laugh at the feathered cheek, but oh, it is I who will have the last laugh, for I know my love will lead her back. So shove it, insensitive humans, kiss my feathery ass.
Wow. What the fuck? By Dan Schoenfeld. Wow.
It's Joe. Don't you know him?
Sinatra were a really fucking bomb. Well, that was fucked up, man. Look for Swim at the following locations. Bookseller Cafe, Sunday Cafe, Record Hog, Pearl Art and Craft, 1369 Coffee House, Kirkland Cafe, Diesel Cafe, Garment District, Zeitgeist Gallery, Weston Gallery, Cambridge Public Library, Somerville Public Library, Tufts University, English Department in East Holland, Harvard University, MIT, Lobby 7 in Building 7, that sounds like MIT. Wow. Distributed in Cambridge, Somerville, and possibly elsewhere.
Mm.
New Britain!
Yeah.
Yeah. Email swimandswim@netscape.com.
Ah.
Please do not throw away or recycle this magazine. Pass it along to a friend or leave it where someone else might find it. Thank you. I like that.
I'll leave it in the Plainville laundromat. No, I've been thinking about that lately. I think I need to read things in the laundromat for people to read.
Yeah.
I mean, people are leaving things like Catholic Digest and shit like that around.
How'd that start?
Right back.
Oh, this is going to... Okay, all right. Started on this tropic shore aboard this tiny ship. A mate was a mighty sailor man, skipper brave and sure. I've cast away set day for a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the mighty ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle. With Gilligan, skipper to the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Marianne, here on Gilligan's Isle. Wow. All right, that sucked too. But they're much better. They don't have good theme songs like that anymore.
No.
Okay, here we go. 90 Burning Man sequence 96. Fish Show, Providence, 12/13/99. One continues on. Older, younger. A walk through crowds. More mystical, more harmful. Night again, old pennies. Press of history and time. Press of the invisible. One continues on. Light is God. Light is electricity. Light of dawn. Emptiness. Funeral lights. Funhouse. Older, younger. One continues on. The freaks will never own the world, but they make it go like Big Daddy, IBM plus LSD. There never was a here, here, or anywhere else. but the world goes by silicon and drum skin and pulse, rhythm and molecules, fucking and greed. But the freaks will never own the world, with their laughter and goofiness, God the elusive trickster within. Further out, the family tightens tendrils again. Warp your mind a little, you'll see. The stars are all inside your head. Warp your mind a little, you'll see. Chase down that freak within, the one squatting in your dreams, jury-rigging your arrows to your weakness for salt. Warp your mind a little. Come with me. Here, take this. Maybe one ceases. Still older, still younger, the world is patched together. Perfect. Seems hidden. Lines straight. But still that dream this morning of holes and pressing ghouls. And is the universe living in you instead? A siren. A whimper. Perhaps the scientist calling again. Or that preacher making babies with spit and disbelief. Just go. No page or tune will give you your truth. Just go. It's over. Continue. Fuck off. Maybe we should smoke something. Call up a party. Tape the windows. The buzz will be a bird again tonight. The freaks will never own the world. But at least a while to forget to fall. And perhaps the rebel moments will appear again. Come dawn. Chase down that freak within. Listen. Still one continues. Older. Younger. Flat danger in every new moment, a comment on old. Arriving becomes fading. Loneliness seen as time's revenge. Time an old crone, burnt out belly. A false consensus. Older, younger. One continues. The pen now a god, not a girl. The invisible now named. Hookah. Falseness, falseness, falseness. Truth. The prophet described the cosmos as gooey and most high. Laughter. IBM started a fist fight with LSD. The light denounced itself as heretical. Left with no blood, the night dulled. The prophet began jamming, handed out cigarettes, the funny kind. Get gooey, get high. The princess came in groups, wearing rags and bangles, wearing a relaxed purity, selecting glass, becoming vessel, smiling, making the choice. The choice between sadness and sparkles. I keep wanting to select both. Remorse keeps the soul rubbed red, but hope burns beside the lonely's bed at night. Someone keeps yelling. God is completely inside your head. The universe is a flu. You're sweating language and skin. One moves gently through shifting faces, smiling. It never seems to change, but the moving continues. There's no stillness. I don't believe in stillness anymore. The belief in stillness kills. I'll sell you a rant on this tonight. After the show. I can't stay. The faces are moving me. Cops screeching. Move indoors. Light the candles. Even the bum one shines tonight. Change the landscape till it's your body tonight. Pose for me in your skirt and fish sweater. Nude, smiling like always. Pose for me, not a person, I must think you. Angle, curve, light, vessel, moon. Now take off your clothes. Where are the words tonight? For my fingers tapping your duo of lips. One pair giggling and licking. The other inhaling and jittering. You know. Yes, older and younger. Vessel, IBM and LSD. You know. I'm real, you don't have to invent me, look at me. You know, I'm cold, when do I walk on? You know, how many more synonyms before you stop for the night? What's a girl gotta do to get laid by you? You know, I don't anymore. Ceasing explaining, ceasing understanding. You look just like I remember. You exactly resemble yourself tonight. Hold it, right there, I was wrong. Stillness is possible, don't move, don't continue. If language can't save this, I'll try formulas. Keep still, please. I'm almost ready to begin. She moved more deeply beneath me and said, you're already home. Remember that. You can move on or keep still. Remember, you're already home now. Get back to work. Know how to live me thyself. No. Be still or move. Dance, dance. There is nothing that doesn't. Nothing that does. Home inside it, always inside of me, always home outside it, always is, nothing doesn't, nothing does, always. Sometimes mind control life seems unreal, he continued. I watched her. Broken faces, lost dreams, never before, he continued. I didn't care. She wouldn't stop with the Santa Claus hat and the pink jinglings. Had I felt this, he croaked, I am sliding down her, a torrent of white mud and sweat. Free. He fell. I pulled her into me out of the way. The shifting faces crowd till airless, but laughter I can't stop now. Ribbons press ribbons, nothing other anymore. I receive her talking lips, moving through crowding face,
She straddles my face and drags her maiden hair ever more damply down my face. I receive her talking lips and cause them tremor and still. I don't know your names, Samantha, Hannah, Shannon, Laura, Kelly, Carolyn, Jennifer, Donna, Barbara, Lisa, Annette. I don't know your name, Rebecca, Eurydice, Franny, Kathleen, Kristen, Samantha, Rebecca, Eurydice, Suzanne Valadin, Mary Muse, Samantha, Rebecca, Samantha, Rebecca, Samantha, Samantha. When you say yes, never will not descend again when you fly, I'm coming. Coda to the show. Was it the hope? Was it despair? Or maybe the girl with the bubblegum hair? Or maybe the opium, the acid, or hash? I smoked it all tonight. Nothing left in my stash. But a troubled mind, a troubled prick. Faith in nothing, faith in everything. Remember, she said, you're already home. How was that? How was that? How was that? Hey! I earned applause. Fuck them all. I don't laugh at myself. Alright. Those are feathers? Oh, it's a person.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, what a strange drawing.
I was grooving off your palm.
Ah, drawing. Wow. Visual groove.
McLaughlin.
Hey!
Michael McLaughlin's literary essays were featured in a number of early issues of the Chronicle. A scholar of 19th and early 20th century American literature, and currently is a visiting English professor at the University of North Carolina. South Carolina, sorry. McLaughlin published considerations of works by F. Scott Fitzgerald, Charles Brockden Brown, and Nathaniel Hawthorne. The best of these, that's the one you wrote over the phone. The best of these, Jeffrey Pynchon. Nope, it's on tape, but I've denied it all. Jeffrey Pynchon on the scaffold, the violated part of the House of the Seven Gables, appeared in Senecal 9 and 10. This excellent essay argues that the novel can be discussed fruitfully as passing metaphorically through the four chambers of the human heart. Excuse me, the tired old chambers of its early beginnings, thus being cleaned by its final ones. McLaughlin concludes his discussion. How else could I do this? What stands here at the novel's close is most important, that the creaky old heart of the house is allowed to beat its final living strokes in the purified atmosphere of dead and buried conflicts and newfound life-affirming love. As the betrothed malls trot off to take up residence in Judge's country estate, the venerable figure of Uncle Verner waving them on and promising to join them shortly, we may feel that the violated part of the house they leave behind sits in calm repose, and that the new household toward which they tend will hold, at least for a few fleeting moments after they cross the threshold, the possibility of immortal joy in its timbers. Not being loaded down with jargon and obtuse thinking of much contemporary writing about literature, McLaughlin's essays are accessible to academic and non-academic readers alike, and thus embody this periodical's position view that it's scholar's task to serve the great literature about which he or she writes rather than using it as fodder in some ivory tower game of theory and revenge. And I'll just continue because it's about Jack. Jack Heitner, an English professor at Central Connecticut State University, contributed poetry to several early issues of the Senecal. Senecal 2, May 1995, he published Connecticut Mountain Poems, reprinting in the Senecal a collection of poems originally published as a chapbook. Excuse me. The poems, such as In Early May, I too am wild and ready, I too, hiker, seeker. I don't know, does that make Jack?
Yeah.
Climbing, We sometimes out of love we see. The ship of love, the third eye opens in the sky. I view the earth from moon's new height. The climber's quest for the peak is equated with the soul's passions through existence, ascent into the brighter light and greater knowledge. In climbing, Heitner writes that art is spirit in search of itself. Heitner's poetic music is filled with strong mountain breezes, clear-eyed laughing stuff written by a strong, rock-shaped hand.
That's pretty complimentary to the old geezer.
Yeah.
Everybody gets compliments. In fact, the thing that Clayton said to me, he said, "Look, you can't be just a rah-rah cheerleader for everybody. You gotta be a little, like critical." And I'm like, "Well, I like everybody's work. I publish what the hell they want. They're all my friends." Yeah, I thought that shit I published sucked, man. It's fucking blue. Blue chunks. You haven't found your description yet. Siren. I wish I could have written more about it. There were things that I didn't write enough about, but I did mention it. I gave it a good paragraph. And you're underlined. Mm. And Mark's in there too. To the heat. Talk about to the heat.
Did you mention the T symbol?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Well, no mention of T's.
Hey, there's something you could have been critical about. And I wouldn't have minded because you've been critical about it to me, isn't it? Directly, you know?
See, the thing is, I promised I wouldn't complain about it thereafter, and I've broken that promise numerous times. So I could not, in good conscience, or even in bad conscience, complain about it.
Oh, no, not yet. You want to come over here and sing with us?
No, it's okay. I'll be back in the summer.
Oh, okay.
You can sing the Welcome Back Cotter song.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Good.
Yeah.
I quoted a brief passage from it.
Yeah. Jerry Phillips famously contributed an occasional poem or short piece to the fictions he published in Pinnacles 24, 25, and 31 were of a higher order. The Siren and its sequel tell the story of... It wasn't really a robot, though.
Oops.
Tell the story of a robot galley slave and his companion, Perry. Kind of throws a red, Doctor Who. A woman with psionic power. And of their adventures in murky, malevolent future Boston. Oh, one of the stories we're doing.
you've been housed in literary annals and it's all wrong.
To survive in the open city, one must belong to a sect. I'm a Heliodora or a clan. I belong to myself. I'm a comic. Modern human lone wolf. As of this writing, I'm usually writing the third installment. I took a break. I wrote a screenplay. It's been published too.
Yeah, that's true.